If you thought story time was controversial before, just wait for the summer reading list.
This is an alphabet book where a family is going to a pride parade and their dog gets lost.
It was so controversial that the Montgomery County Public System actually removed this book from their approved curriculum.
It sounded like it was just about board books, but it was actually about where health, education, identity, religion, and public education interact. Welcome to this week's episode of the Rowland Forward podcast.
I'm Dr. Alicia Rowland.
I'm Dr. Stephanie Rowland.
We're both physicians and researchers.
And this summer, we're also legal scholars.
I mean, you're a legal scholar every summer.
This summer, we're going to be bringing you our special SCOTUS summer. Because it's not hot girl summer, it's SCOTUS summer.
Every week, we will be digging into a case that the Supreme Court decided on this year and dig deeper into the case.
So we'll walk you through what the case was about, what SCOTUS decided, and what it might mean. Rolling forward, Dr. Sister
Science Facts. This week, we're starting with a case that was very recently decided.
And that case is Mahmoud v. Taylor. This one was when I was waiting to see what was going to happen. This case started pretty close to us. We're in Washington, D.C., and it started in Montgomery County in Maryland, right across the border. And so it's something that we have been hearing about for a few years.
So this case starts back in November of 2022.
And at that time, the Montgomery County Board of Education in Maryland approved including several LGBTQ-inclusive children's books as supplemental curriculum to its language arts program. So for each year from pre-K through fifth grade, they added one book that was LGBTQ-inclusive.
The teachers at Montgomery County Public Schools were not required to use any of these books. They were just added as options that they could use in their classroom.
And to start with, the schools notified parents before the books would be read, and they would accommodate requests if parents wanted their children excused from listening to a book that had some LGBTQ-inclusive theme. But after about 6 months, the school district changed the policies and no longer allowed parents to opt out for any reasons. Lawyers for the school system said that essentially there was a growing number of opt-out requests, which were leading to three different concerns they had. First, a high student absenteeism. Second, there was an administrative burden related to tracking and implementing these opt-outs across different classrooms and schools. And third, for students who saw themselves represented in these stories, having their classmates leave instead of listening to a story could contribute to social stigma and isolation.
I can't imagine how horrible it must feel that if it's like story time and your teacher pulls out a picture book. These are like children's books, picture books. And right before they're going to read this new picture book, like half the class has to get up and leave because their parents don't want their child to be read a story that has a character that identifies in the LGBTQ spectrum.
There are certainly students in that school who have parents who are gay, and that other students are just leaving instead of hearing a picture book about someone who's gay. It just doesn't really make sense. So I understand that concern about the social stigma and isolation.
Unfortunately, not everybody felt the same way. And a number of parents actually sued the superintendent, Thomas Taylor, and this became Mahmoud versus Taylor. So three sets of parents actually took on this lawsuit as plaintiffs. They were from a number of different religions, Muslim, Roman Catholic, and Ukrainian Orthodox. And they all joined together, alleging that their First Amendment and due process rights were violated.
And the books that the parents were objecting to, we read them. One of them is Uncle Bobby's Wedding. It's about a young girl who is at first apprehensive that her uncle is marrying his longtime boyfriend. She's apprehensive because he's her favorite uncle, and she's worried what will happen. Will he forget about me? And they reassure her that her uncle will always love her, and when her uncle marries his partner, then she'll have two uncles. And it's just a sweet, beautiful story about a family coming together and celebrating love.
Other books on the initial list that the Montgomery County Public School System had approved included Pride Puppy by Robin Stevenson's for their pre-K classrooms.
This is an alphabet book where a family is going to a pride parade and their dog gets lost. And yet, I don't know. This one was controversial.
It was so controversial. This A is for apple, B is for banana book, that the Montgomery County Public System actually removed Pride Puppy from their approved curriculum in February of 2024. So about a year and a half after it had been initially approved. The school district stated that it was due to their own review process and not due to parental requests. It just seems really difficult to see how there is any negative messaging or bad messaging.
And yet, three sets of parents sued alleging that their First Amendment and due process rights were violated by their children being read these books.
So the core issue of this case was, do public schools violate the First Amendment's free exercise clause by teaching LGBTQ+ themed stories without prior parental notice or opt-out provisions? The lawsuit itself didn't challenge the adoption of these books in the curriculum or the ability of the teachers to read these books to other students. It was really focused on, do parents have to be notified and does there need to be an opt-out system?
So in January, the Supreme Court decided they would hear this case. In April, there were the oral arguments. And then in late June of this year, the Supreme Court ruled 6-3, stating that parents needed to have an opt-out to having these books read.
The ruling, as Stephanie said, was 6-3. The three dissenting were Sotomayor, Kagan, and Jackson.
And Alito led the majority opinion. The majority opinion relied on prior cases that had happened and examined whether these storybooks were substantially interfering with parents' religious upbringing. One of the main cases that they relied on was a 1972 case, Wisconsin versus Yonder, in which the Supreme Court unanimously found that Amish families could refuse to send their children to high school after eighth grade, because if you required Amish families to send their children to high school after eighth grade, it would infringe upon the parents' free exercise of religion, since high school education conflicted with Amish beliefs and way of life.
They also relied on another, even older case, Pierce versus the Society of Sisters, which was a case that was ruled in 1925.
100 years ago.
And that case, the Supreme Court upheld the right of parents to choose private or religious schooling for their children. It established this principle that parents, not the state, have the authority to decide how children are educated.
So both of these cases were examining the role of religion and parental choice versus public education. And so in the Mahmoud v. Taylor decision, the majority, again led by Justice Alito, said that by applying these two prior cases, these LGBTQ inclusive storybooks were substantially interfering with parents' religious freedom and how to educate their children, and that schools must notify parents in advance and allow them to opt out.
Justice Sotomayor led the dissent in the case, and while her dissent is just 2 pages, it took her nearly 20 minutes to read the dissent aloud from the bench. It just was really striking about how strongly she really opposed this decision.
And she was really warning that this was going to threaten public school unity and diversity.
Because this ruling is not only about board books about puppies getting lost at parades. It's not only about reading these diverse and inclusive storybooks at school. It has much broader impact on childhood education, on childhood health and well-being.
There's a potential to increase bullying and stigma that students are already feeling. And that's expected to increase mental health stress if they start to see that their identities or their family's identities are either ignored or somehow controversial.
And in addition to concerns about the mental health impact on children, there also is going to be a large impact on school districts across the nation. One of the reasons that Montgomery County had stopped their opt-out system was because of administrative burden.
And now school systems are going to need to track and manage individual opt-out requests anytime that there's LGBTQ content included.
So now you have to manage every single classroom, every single book that's being read, what day, and notifying parents beforehand, and then being organized enough to remove the students from the classroom at the time on the day that that book is being read. That just seems so unmanageable that it's more likely that schools are just not going to include these in their curriculum.
And if you as a school have budget issues and what school doesn't, you might just drop this content altogether. That way you don't have to worry about any of this.
And that's a really huge shame. A lot of these books that have LGBTQIA themes also have topics such as diversity and tolerance and respectful dialogue. And so now the students, they're getting less books on these important topics.
One of the things that really struck me when we looked up these specific controversial books is that just looking at the cover, there are so many multiracial families, and they were families that looked like our family, and that it's so amazing to have that and to be able to show that. I imagine as you start to pull this inclusive content away, you're going to lose diversity and representation.
So Stephanie, as fascinating as it is, as disappointing as it is, why are we talking about it on a health news podcast?
First and foremost, a feeling of belonging protects kids' mental and emotional development. And as schools start to implement these opt-out, we're going to start to divide classrooms, and exclusion harms kids. So that at the top is the number one impact that we will see most immediately from this decision. But in a broader context, this decision is redefining the boundaries between church and state. By siding with the religious parents, the court has expanded their power over public school curriculum. So what we might start to see is future cases eroding this line between religious beliefs and public education. So we might see in the future more opt-outs being required, maybe on sex education, evolution, any content having to do with mental health, climate change. I mean, any of these things are places that we really might start to see schools have to divide and have more opt-outs.
It is not very hard to think that the next step is opt-out on evolution. If the court has granted that parents can request an opt-out for board books about LGBTQIA representation due to religious concerns, if families are claiming that evolution is a religious concern, it is really not hard to see that being the next step.
And there's always been inequality in public education in America, but we're really going to start to see that being in a public school is going to mean a lot of different things based on your zip code. What kind of content is taught, what kind of content is included, and what kind of content you just don't learn about because your school can't manage these opt-outs. And so we're going to start dropping any inclusive themes, any climate change science, anything about mental health, sex education, evolution. We might just start to see schools that don't even offer any of this because I can't imagine the administrative burden of tracking opt-outs for each of those.
So what are things that you can do at home? I think building a diverse library and reading lots of inclusive books at home. We can drop a list of some of our favorites on our social media.
I would love to share some of our favorites. And we read the book, Uncle Bobby's Wedding, to our niece and nephew, who really struggled to see what anyone was objecting to in that. It was such a sweet story of love. And so I think in making sure that kids are being exposed to inclusive ideas from a young age is really important.
And so that's a wrap up of Mahmoud v. Taylor.
It sounded like it was just about board books, but it was actually about where health, education, identity, religion, and public education interact.
If you thought story time was controversial before, just wait for the summer reading list.
And stay tuned with us this summer. We're going to continue our deep dive into recent important SCOTUS cases that are affecting child and family health.
Be sure to like, subscribe, follow us on any of our social media. Send us an email at rolinforwardshow, that's R-O-L-I-N forward show, at gmail.com.
And read banned books.
The more banned, the better.
Thanks for tuning in. I like that we've decided to also make this like our musical theater era. This summer we'll just be bringing the SCOTUS cases, but like they'll each have a song.
Each have its own unique, individual, very depressing song. If it's
It's...
upbeat, if the songs are upbeat, does it make the lyrics less sad?
Let's we're gonna give it a try.
A day without signing a form, or the justices might say you've triggered a storm. Alito's pen's hotter than drag queen debates, with opt-out demands and culture war stakes. Pride puppy board book that the parents are dreading. Then came the scandal, Uncle Bobby's wedding. So buckle your backpacks and sharpen your creed. It's freedom, y'all, but only one breed. It's not hot girl summer, it's SCOTUS summer. The roads are black and the vibes are bummer. Nine folks dropping drama like it's pop confetti. I got constitutional whiplash, baby, and I'm not ready.